Welcome to the Redeeming Roots podcast, hosted by me, Megan Barrett. One thing I've learned in my own life and from the women I've coached is that when things aren't going the way you want, there's a reason. The truth that most people don't know is that your unconscious beliefs are hiding beneath every decision in your life and are directly responsible for creating your results. Here on the podcast and inside my coaching programs, we dig deep to get to the root of what's happening. Not only to heal the past, but to rewrite the script. So whether you want to grow your own business, become a more patient mom, or just heal your past wounds and live into the real you, I'm here to guide you towards a life that's rooted in love, truth, and authenticity, where you are able to fully trust and lean into your own intuition. Thanks for being here. Let's dig into today's episode. Welcome to the Redeeming Roots podcast, everyone. I am so excited because today we have a special guest, Nicole Woodard. I am so excited she agreed to come on the podcast because Nicole is amazing and has such a wealth of knowledge and experience. And we are so lucky to have her here. And our topic for today, we're going to be talking about turning failure into success and just all of Nicole's experiences. She has, seriously, guys, we've got gold here with us today. So Nicole, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about you, and then we'll just dig into all the juicy goodness.
Oh, awesome. Well, thanks so much for having me. I am Dr. Nicole, for those of you guys that don't know me yet. I am a success coach and an expert in nervous system regulation. And really, I have such a passion for giving leaders back autonomy and choice through starting with nervous system regulation. Over the last 15 years, I have worked with multiple different levels of entrepreneurs, from those just starting business to those running seven-figure businesses, as well as professional athletes and Olympians. And with all of those experiences, it's really taught me and helped me develop my signature framework for success, which really is that success looks the same no matter what arena you're in. If you're working on your health, if you're working on your relationships, if you're working on your business, if you're working on fitness and performance outcomes, any of that stuff, success actually foundationally looks the same in all of those principles.
Ooh, okay. So we talked a little bit beforehand. We were going to talk about kind of turning failure to success, and you talked about kind of how you had to define failure for yourself. And I want to get into that, but does each person, in your opinion, does each person have a different definition of success also, or is success just, I mean, how would you define success? Let's go for there.
Yeah. So for me, success is living in alignment with my values. That's what success looks like for me. So I think success really is about taking a result and an outcome down. It's really about removing also like what an actual decision looks like. So I talk about that I want to give autonomy and choice back to individuals. But for me, success looks like knowing that you have a choice and being able to look at both of those choices with neutrality and figuring out which one lines up with your values. You head in that direction. And if you do that over and over and over again, you will find that every day in the present moment, you're living in success. You can find success in your emotions. You can find success in what you're doing. You can find success in how you're being. But really for me, success is an internal state.
Which is such an important distinction, because how many times do we all get wrapped up in like, success is a number in my business. Success means I'm a certain weight, like a number on the scale, or like something very external. It's not how we feel inside. So I really love that you bring that inward, because first of all, it's a lot more easy to be in control of, right? Like you can have more control over your own inner world than everybody else around us that we don't actually get to control, but sometimes we kind of wish we could, right?
Yeah. And I mean, I think I send a lot of love to people too that are feeling that way, because I lived my life as kind of a people pleasing overachiever, which is, gosh, it's like so hard, because I wanted to overachieve, but not too much, because I didn't want people to dislike me. And I only wanted to overachieve in the categories that other people found success in. So I was constantly, it was like, rushing to this finish line, and then I would get to the finish line. It reminds me, I don't know if anybody has watched the movie like The Incredibles, but when they finally let their son compete and he's like super speedy and they let him do the race and he's like sprinting to the finish line and they like look side to side to make sure they're like, oh, are they still close? And then he would like sprint a little bit more and then he would like check. And then like I think he ended up like getting second, right? He like pulls up and like gets second. And that was essentially how I was living my life, which is funny. And, you know, he's like a superhero or whatever, and he's holding himself back. But isn't that kind of what we all do, right? We're always constantly checking. Like, if I take off sprinting, the only way, one, maybe you feel safe is to check and make sure, are other people actually in this same race with me? Because if I'm by myself, maybe I'm doing the wrong thing. Two, if I'm too far ahead, are people going to like me? Am I going to get to the finish line? And I had this belief that I would get to the finish line. And although outwardly I would be successful, what if everyone around me hated me or I was like conceited or egotistical? So it's just constantly like literally sprinting out, keeping the reins on myself, checking other people. And for me, it didn't really matter what the numbers were at that point, that was never going to feel like success.
Oh my gosh. Yes, I've seen The Incredibles. My kids were on an Incredibles kick for a while. It was the movie they watched for weeks straight over and over. So yes, I know ex the exact scene you're talking about, and I think that's such a good image of like describing what you were doing, because it's like, and I think a lot of us can relate to that of, oh, like I feel really good about this. I'm doing this thing. And then you do the comparison thing. You look around, like, is this still okay? Am I still safe? It's like, am I too far out there? Am I shining too much? Am I being too big? Am I, you know, all these things. And then it's like, oh, wait, this is too uncomfortable. Let's pull back. Okay. Now I can see other people are doing better or more than me. So now I'm a little more safe. I'm in the second place position. So that's, I love that. I'm going to use that. That scene is such a good, it's wonderful. I mean, it's wonderful because it's like, I love when we can give words or an image to something that's so common. And then when you call it out, it's like, why am I doing that? Like, what am I doing? Like, it's kind of almost frustrating. For myself, when I can recognize that, because it's like, that's like not success, right? That's me j judging my own actions or behaviors or thoughts or feelings based on what I think other people are thinking, right? It's not even factual, like 90% of the time. So, oh yeah, that's so interesting. So if we're defining success as that internal, you know, are you living according to your values? Tell us a little bit about maybe a time when you didn't feel successful. Maybe you were leaning more towards like feeling more like a failure. You have so many amazing stories. So pick one. What do you feel in the call to share right now?
I mean, I honestly think I'm gonna go way back. I'm gonna share kind of one of my OG stories that got me started in really personal development and starting to change the way I was making choices. And that was really my infertility journey. So I graduated college and in May, so I graduated with my doctorates in May in 2010. And because I thought everyone should get married, everyone around me was already married. They graduated at 22, they got married. I'm like, oh, I'm behind the belt here. Like, I need to get going. And so my husband and I got married in July. So I graduated in May, started my job the next week. And then I got married in July. And my husband and I decided we're gonna like, okay, like I'm already behind in this race. So we're going to start trying to have a family. And so we started to try to have a family, and the months clicked by, 6 months, 8 months. And anyone that's been through infertility, or if you know someone that has, it's this weird position where a lot of people start giving you advice, and you literally take every piece of advice, but like grudgingly so. So I remember someone was like, oh yeah, my grandma struggled with infertility. So they had sex every single day for 30 days. And I was like, great, like the next month, every single day for 30 days. I'm like, this is happening. Except for the whole time, I'm like, I mean, if her grandma can get pregnant this way in 1932, this should work for me. And it just kept going that way. And I would go to the store and I'm like literally buying tampons and ovulation kits and pregnancy tests, like all in the cart. And if that just does not scream infertility journey, I do not know what does, because it's like, I'm not sure what I'm going to need. And we went through tests, and then we got sent to doctors. And this is where not living in my values started to happen, right? I'm looking around like, this is what everyone else is doing. I need to be going to work. I need to be pursuing my career. I need to be taking care of my husband. I need to be cooking dinners. My house needs to be clean, and I need to be producing these babies. This is how my life should be going. And we start our first round of fertility treatments, go through, no chance, nothing happens. Second round, nothing. Third round, we go in and I'm supposed to get the implantation, and something feels wrong. I'm shaking for the first time. I don't feel right. And the nurse walks in and I said, hey, something doesn't feel right today. Let's skip this implantation and let's just start over next month. But something feels wrong today. And she literally taps me on the arm and she says, oh, honey. And then walks out of the room. The doctor walks in and he says, I hear we have a dramatic patient in here. And immediately I went, I don't get to listen to my intuition. I don't get to have my needs met. Suddenly, having a need or an understanding about my body is wrong, and I'm a problem. So, not only was my infertility a problem, fitting in with my friends, friendships are falling away, all these people are having kids, I'm resentful, I am struggling to keep up at work and my house, I'm a problem there. Now, all of a sudden, I'm a problem in this office. And if I'm a problem, they're not going to be able to give me a baby. And that's a big old issue because that was success to me. And so I said, oh, no, I'm not being dramatic. I think I'm just worried because this hasn't worked yet. So everything's good. So we did the implantation. I go home, and later I take the pregnancy test. It's positive. I'm like, oh my gosh, I was wrong. They are right. They are always right. Like, I should just shut my mouth, do what other people tell me because they're right. And now I'm pregnant. And then I get the blood tests and I'm pregnant. And then I get the next one and pregnant. Things are going good. And then I get the third one and they call and they say, we're really sorry to let you know, but you're going to have a miscarriage this weekend. And I'm like, wait, what? And they're like, yeah, your numbers are off. This isn't possible. Like, you're going to have a miscarriage. I'm like, oh, okay. And so my husband was supposed to leave on a bachelor party. And I'm like, Nicole, like, get it together. He's leaving. Thank God he knows me so well. After being together at this point for like a decade, he's like, I'm not leaving. I'm staying. And I'm like, just leave. I'll do this all by myself. Just leave. And he's like, no, I'm going to stay. And I start having horrible pain. And now again, it's another loop of, am I doing the right thing? Am I listening to my body? What's happening? And I call and they say, honey, have you ever had a miscarriage? That's the thing. Honey, right? It's like very placating. Honey. And I'm like, no. And they're like, well, it's painful. This is how it's going to be. You just need to wait till your appointment on Monday and you need to get through the weekend. So come Monday, I can't ride in the car. I ride on my hands and knees 2.5 hours to my doctor because I can't sit because I'm in so much pain. And I'm like, this is normal. Suck it up, Nicole. You're a big baby. All these things. I get there and I have an ectopic pregnancy that has ruptured my fallopian tube. I'm internally bleeding and had been for over 24 hours. And that was the moment that I was like, something is very wrong. And that something that is very wrong is not the procedure I'm getting ready to have, it's that I knew something was not right twice now. Like, the first one, shouldn't have done the implantation. Second one, Like something was wrong. I needed to go to the hospital. But instead, I listened to everyone else and I let them feel like make me feel kind of bad about myself and about what I was experiencing in my body, in my mind, in my heart. And instead, I went along for their ride. I was checking side to side. Are you still here with me? And when they weren't, I was like, oh, Nicole, better get in line. Better get in line, make sure what's happening. And at the end of it all, I didn't have a baby. I actually had one less fallopian tube. And come to find out, the other one wasn't actually working. It had perforations all in it, and the doctor had missed it. And this was when I realized that maybe my dream wasn't my dream at all. And then I began to question, what does success actually look like? What do I actually want? What do my values lead me to? And everything shifted from there because all of a sudden I had a path to start walking down. I had the steps that I needed for my level of success. Doesn't mean life isn't going to be painful. Doesn't mean that there's not going to be things. But if you can be with yourself, if you can advocate for yourself, if you can have autonomy within yourself, a lot of things change and you can have success even when there's maybe what other people would perceive as failure or poor choices. It's like, nope, this is my path.
Oh my goodness, Nicole. I am so sorry that that happened to you. First of all, I mean, so many thoughts coming up, right? Like, I have my own personal stories of miscarriages. And so I relate to that so much of feeling like you have to trust your body when, like, do you even trust your body, right? Like, it's not doing what you think it's supposed to do. So do you trust it? But then you kind of have to trust it. And you have obviously your own unique experience here with the oh honey,
Oh,
oh honey, oh my goodness.
oh.
And then obviously, like, the whole situation and everything, the buildup leading up to it. I mean, I'm assuming, like, this sounds like a really big situation in your life, and it sounds like it was very pivotal. Was it like an instantaneous, like, I know this, like, now I need to trust myself? Or was this like, okay, you know how when you need to learn a lesson, like, you get like a rock, the life throws a rock at you, and then life throws the boulder, and then like the smashes the house on you? Like, which for you was this, like, the boulder, the house? Like, how were you like, okay, now I'm done with the old way and I'm moving on to the new way, and this is now how I'm going to be, and it just switched from there? Or was it like you needed a few more boulders dropped on you?
Well, I think I'd already gotten the pebbles, right? It was like things were not working out. I was stressed all the time. Like there's already like these pebbles getting thrown at me. And then this was definitely a boulder. And for me, it's almost like the boulders came in phases over time because that was the end of the infertility part of my journey. Because we could have had IVF. Again, we decided like, hey, this isn't the best choice for us. This isn't, I was like, this isn't actually what I want to do. We found another great doctor. God love him. He literally has met with us 4 times. We keep going in and asking about IVF. And then I'm like, nope, not right. Still energetically not where I want to be. And he literally just sits down with us every single time, is like, any questions? Like we're brand new. I'm like, oh, I love you so much. But for me, that was the choice. I walked away and I was like, yeah, actually, I started to question, is the path that I want to be, do I want to be a mom? And that was the first question that I had to ask for myself. And then I was like, yeah, that was like a resounding yes for me. I sat with it for a long time and I was like, I do want children. And then I was like, okay, cool. Do I want to birth children? And I was like, no, really could care less. And then that led us down the road of adoption. And now we have adopted 2 children. We have 3, and hopefully our oldest son's adoption will be done this year, like in the next couple of months, which is really exciting. And that was the first time I started following a different path. And people had a lot of things to say. I mean, people who haven't been exposed to adoption, they think everything's a Lifetime movie. So people were like, "Are you sure? Maybe you should do IVF. I think it would be easier. Don't you want, like, this is my, like, the crushing one. Don't you want a baby of your own?" I'm like, yep, that's like how adoption also works. So it's really cool. But people didn't understand. And so I was like, this is going to be a layer of education. It would be easier to go get IVF. The IVF doctor's like, you have a 99% chance of getting pregnant with IVF. You should have went straight here years ago. You should not have been doing these other treatments. They messed up your plan of care. And I'm like, oh, okay. But God, universe, whatever you want to believe, threw me that boulder for a reason. Like, there was a reason that that was missed, that I didn't do the IVF. And that reason was to trust myself. And trusting myself says that path might be easier. That path might make more sense to other people. That's fine. And this choice for me, I'm choosing over here. Not because anything is better or worse or right or wrong. Like, I literally have counseled and sent people to IVF. I'm like, this is your choice. Like, your unconscious mind, like, this is what your body is yelling for. Cool. Head that way. This is what you needed. But mine was walking differently. So this was the first layer. And then the boulders kind of kept rolling off. There was then leaving traditional healthcare was like another boulder of trusting myself, shutting down my business for 7 months whenever we adopted my daughter. And then she had a 14-year-old biological brother that needed to move in with us as well that we didn't know about. So that was like another boulder of like, okay, trust yourself, trust this is all going to work out. And even right now, I left traditional healthcare, but also I don't do physical therapy in the traditional sense anymore. I really connect the mind, the body, the emotional side, and do healing work in that way now. And so that was another boulder of like, okay, trust yourself. But they all came crashing down in very similar patterns to this. I'm hoping it gets easier now.
Oh my goodness. Well, I mean, the thing that's going to get easier, that's like a guarantee, is that now you know what it feels like to trust yourself. And whereas before, you just didn't know. And it was almost probably this leap of faith of like, well, I've been doing it this way, how everyone else wants me to do it for so long. That's familiar. And this, like, trusting yourself when you first learn how to do it and when you first do it is kind of scary. But it feels different. Because it's like something is right about this. And so it's like, can you trust that small little voice inside that's like, do it, do it, do it? Or are you going to trust the really loud people all around you who are screaming, go over there, go over there? And like, if I can kind of like zoom out from your story and like, I'm all about like this river metaphor, like you're on a boat and you're going through this, like the river of life, right? And you like each of those big boulders is like a fork in the river, right? You choose which direction you're gonna go when you get hit with something. And when you have a situation like that, so the infertility, it's like which way am I going from here? And you eventually chose, I'm gonna start listening to my body. I'm gonna trust myself, that like inner wisdom and defining success for you internally. And then, another fork in the river down the way. But that time it's like, oh, I've done this before and I really liked how it felt. So I'm going to keep doing that, right? Like the momentum is on your side now, which is so powerful. I really think that first time when you're like, what if I don't listen to everyone else? What if I have my own opinion? Or like, what if I actually know what to do? And what if it's already inside of me? Like that is such a powerful moment. Do you agree? Does it
Oh,
feel true for you?
yeah. Yeah, I think, and I think when, which there's a lot of the work that you and I do, right, too. It's when also at the time I wasn't working with anybody that could help me define what that was. And so I think when you're working with people and they can be like, what was that that you felt in your body? How did you know? And when you can give like even more of a solid context to it now, like now I know what that voice sounds like, because it is quiet. Like, your ego's loud, other people are loud, like it's loud. This voice is like quiet. And it doesn't make sense a lot of times. You know, the shutting down my business for 7 months, it made no sense. It's not like I had this robust savings account that I was like, cool, I can take 7 months off. I was literally like, I'll go back to work when the credit cards are maxed out. Like, because right now I can't handle anything. Like, logically, that doesn't make any sense. But I was like, there is a small voice in me that says, just do it, burn it to the ground. Just trust me, it will be okay. And like you said, I think if I hadn't been in all those forks in the river to get to that one, I would have, you can keep denying it, right? I could have just kept denying, kept denying, kept denying. But every time that I listened to it, the journey got a little bit easier. And there was less rapids whenever I chose, you know, when I chose the path, I'm like looking and I'm like, okay, I can kind of see this is going to be all right. Yeah, it's still a little scary. And I think when you can feel that in your body, that's what I talk about a lot is like that emotional intelligence piece of like, what is this emotion? What is this voice or intuition, whatever you want to call it? And how is that represented inside my body, inside my mind, so that I can find it again and again and again for something as simple as like, do I want to go out to eat with friends tonight or do I want to stay home and cook to as complex as like, do I want to burn my whole business to the ground or do I want to keep going in the grind? Which one is right? And that's what I was saying. There is no right or wrong decision just outwardly looking at it. You only know that if you can be inside your body. That's the only way to know. You can't look at other people because like your decision in the exact same situation might be stay with the business, keep going step by step, and your intuition's like, that's what you need to do. Where that is right and correct for you, and it might be completely opposite for me. That's why we have to look inside.
Yeah, and okay. So I want you to like tie in nervous system regulation to this conversation because I feel like this is a good point. You are like an expert in this area, and I think there's a lot of chatter going on right now, even like on Instagram, like parasympathetic exercises, vagus nerve, whatever. But you're the expert. So why don't you tell us kind of first of all, how does nervous system regulation play in here to like trusting yourself or like knowing those decisions. And then also like what's missing from what you see out there in this conversation about parasympathetic and nervous system regulation.
This is so good. Okay. So let's zoom out first just to make sure that we are like talking about the right like terminology as far as like how I base my work, because I think that's one of the things like there's a lot of stuff out there and it's all correct in a way, as long as we have the same terminology and we're talking about the same things. So the nervous system is created in three separate parts. The first part that, like, literally evolution-wise, it was created as well as individually in your human body as you became a human being is the dorsal vagal system. This is also a part of your parasympathetic nervous system, but this is your freeze response. This is like, and you notice this with babies, right? Like, what happens when babies get overwhelmed? They might cry for a little bit, but then they just like shut down. They're like, you know, unfortunately, if you've ever seen babies that have been through a lot of trauma, they don't cry. They don't reach out. Like if anybody that's been through the foster care system, it is like a huge foster parents celebrate the crap out of like if their 2-year-old starts throwing fits and screaming and crying and wanting things, this is a huge win because as a young child, they were taught, no, don't do that. Shut down, be in freeze mode. And in freeze mode, everything slows down. So the heart rate slows down, everything, you're just kind of like shut off from the world. You can't handle the world. The next part of your nervous system that gets created is your sympathetic nervous system. And this is your like fight or flight system, which makes sense, right? We're either going to like fight, claw our way out of here. This is like anger. This is like very activating emotions. Or we're like running away. We're like, see you later. This is unsafe. Bye-bye. Like, and so this is the system where everything gets ramped up a little bit, right? Heart rate goes up, digestion shuts down. This is like where all your stress chemicals start spreading throughout your body, which is super needed. Every single part of your nervous system is needed biologically and even today. And the third part, this is the part where this is like the pretty, I call it like rainbow land. This is ventral vagal. This is the other part of your parasympathetic nervous system. This is, I am safe in the world, and the world is safe with me. Every digestion runs smoothly here. You can actually, like, you have saliva in your mouth. You can hear things accurately. You are just perceiving the world and you feel comfortable in it. And this is where connection happens. So, like, sometimes this phase is called like social engagement. This is where you can create friendships and true bonds. Now, here's the really interesting thing about the nervous system, though, is that you have to go through them in order, even when you're activated. So what that looks like is that, like one of my favorite examples is people who work out to go to sleep at night. So imagine like a big, like, one of those, like graphs, like a big, like mountainous graph, right? That comes all the way up, arches over and comes down. At the bottom, let's just call that ventral vagal. This is like, I'm safe with the world is safe with me. The middle is fight or flight. And at the very top at the peak is freeze mode. So let's just say you're having a great day, you're in ventral vagal, and then you go to work, and like Sally at work is being a total jerk to you. Then you get called into your boss's office, right? We're heading up into the fight or flight system. We're like, there is so much stress here. You go into your boss's office, they're mad at you. You missed a deadline you didn't even know about. They hand you another project. They're like, and by the way, you've called in 7 times because your kid's been sick. And if you call in again, we have the right to fire you. So get it together. Then your husband calls and is like, hey, what are we going to have for dinner tonight? We don't have any food. You check the bank account, you don't have any money. Like, and your system's just like, uh-oh. You're riding up. And then you're like, I can't go home because I'm going to freak out on my kids. I'm going to freak out on my husband. Like, I am way too activated right now. I'm going to go blow off some steam at the gym. Well, what do we do when we go and work out? It's fight or flight system, right? We're pushing that fight or flight system. So then all of a sudden, look, I get a thumbs up. Then all of a sudden, we push that fight or flight system high enough that we go into freeze mode. That's where everything shuts down. You're not actually safe in the world. It's like I was so unsafe in the world. I just kept pushing and increasing my stress until that fight or flight response no longer was effective. I drained my adrenals for the day. Everything shut down. Now I can walk in the door and I'm avoiding eye contact. I'm just going to do the task and I'm going to go to sleep. I'm going to make the dinner and I'm going to bed. I'm done for today. And people even say that, right? Like, I'm done for today. And I need to take a break. And they'll go and they're like, okay, cool, I can go to sleep. Now, the difference is now you have to come back through your fight or flight system in order to get back into engagement. So let's say that you're like, okay, I do want to connect with my kids. Like, I want to hold them and read them bedtime stories tonight. You have to come back through fight or flight in order to get to ventral vagal. So maybe what that looks like for you is that you open up the door. And everybody just threw their school stuff everywhere. Everything's a mess. And you're like kicking backpacks and you're like, no one ever takes care of anything. I felt so good after I left the gym and now everything's a mess. And you go back through fight or flight. Then you apply some of the tools that Megan and I learn or that I can teach you guys. So maybe you're like, okay, I'm way too activated right now. I'm going to go lay with my legs up the wall. I'm going to go thump on my chest a little bit. I'm going to go gargle some water for 30 seconds. I'm going to turn on music and hum and dance. Whatever it is that suddenly doesn't just push you back into dorsal vagal, doesn't send you back into freeze, but now you're back into connection. So this is what most people miss out on. They just don't understand what's happening in that, like, freeze, fight or flight response, and in the world we live in today, how to actually use it effectively for what we all crave, which is connection. It's love. That helps when we have connection, when we have love, when we feel loved and are able to love others. That is when we get that internal state that I was talking about of success. It's like That's when we can go after our goals and we feel really good. And when we get them, we actually feel right and validated to celebrate them. This is kind of where the nervous system regulation comes in and why it's so important.
I really, really like that. I drew a picture. I love graphs.
Me too.
Love them so much. I'm like, ah, it's all making sense, right? So if you're listening, you're like, oh, like pieces, I can just like feel it right now. The puzzle pieces are fitting together in people's minds. Like, this is why this happens to me. Like, it makes so much sense. And I think it's like awareness of the system, the nervous system, and why it has to happen in a progression or why things happen in the order that they do. That awareness is so helpful because, first of all, I mean, for me especially, I really like understanding what's going on in my body and why is this happening? Not that we always have to understand every single, like to the cellular level of what's happening, but at least having a framework or a concept of this is kind of what I'm going through, so that even you can come home and be like, here's where I'm at. Like, I'm like way up at this curve. And if you have the communication and the language with your family, people can kind of at least understand a little and not take it personally and not make it like about them. And I think that can be so helpful for relationships. It can be helpful for your own self of like, what do I need right now to kind of come down off of this peak? What do I need? Thank you so much for explaining it like that because I have never heard all of those parts. I have just heard, oh, just do your parasympathetic exercises, which are helpful, right? But there's a time when they're helpful, and there's a time when it's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, that's not what I need right now. And a lot of people don't have the language to understand why that's not helping. Or maybe it's like, well, something's wrong with me because it's not working. How I see it on Instagram, right?
Yeah, and I think what you just said is so important is it's knowing what to apply and when. And if you know the why you're applying something. So let's just say that you're like, okay, I went and worked out. Like sometimes I still go to the gym when I'm stressed and activated. That's fine. But what I'm going to do on the drive on the car right there is I'm like screaming and yelling. I'm pounding on my steering wheel. Then, when I walk into the gym, I'm only doing a workout that I can do breathing with my mouth closed because that ensures that I'm not sending myself back into fight or flight. Like, if I can work out, my mouth is closed, I'm working out at that pace, I'm breathing in and out through my nose. That's an automatic sender to your brain of like, I'm safe. It doesn't mean that you can't work out. It means that you need a layer of awareness of like, why am I here? And what am I wanting to do while I'm here that keeps me safe and keeps me connected versus like, I'm just going to run off a bunch of energy. So that's kind of what I'll do. I'm like, okay, I'm in dorsal vagal. I'm shut down. Like, I can feel myself wanting to go to sleep. This day was overwhelming. I'm literally going to be like, I'm pretending Sally's in the passenger seat. And I'm like, listen, I can't handle anything else. And the boss already told me all this. And I can't believe that you are being so rude. Like, I don't want to sit next to you. I just like literally let it all out. And now I'm in fight or flight. And now I'm like, perfect. This gives me the access point to get into social engagement, to get into ventral vagal, to get into that safe side of my parasympathetic nervous system where I like, where I feel good. I know I have the access point now. Now what I do with it is up to me. So I could go into the gym and I can shove myself right back into fight or flight, or even all the way up into freeze mode, or I can go in, shut my mouth, breathe in and out through my nose, and I know that I'm gonna head home in a really good state.
Oh yeah. And I mean, earlier we were talking kind of, I think you said, I hope things get a little easier, after all the boulders, right? And it's like, yeah, we really want, like, everyone wants the tools, right? I mean, at least I believe everyone needs the tools. Let me phrase it like that. People want everything to be like, okay, now I've dealt with the hard stuff in my life. That was a nice stage. I'm gonna like go and like float along and be happy forever. But that's not quite how life is, as we both know. And in my opinion, like, and I think you too, our goal is to help people have the tools to handle whatever boulders come at them, right? So, for you and your story that you shared, you have this like practice of trusting yourself. And so that's now like a resource for you. That's a tool for you to tune in and figure out what that looks like. This parasympathetic and like understanding the nervous system is another tool. You have tools that you help your people with breath works that's like another piece to the puzzle. I'm assuming we won't get into that, but it's like a whole, I mean, you guys, I told you Nicole is full of gold. So it's like all of these tools is what we want, right? We want a toolbox full of tools so that when we're in a situation, we open it up and it's like, all right, that one's labeled exactly how I feel right now. I'm going to go do this. Or, I mean, tools are so helpful. And so I would love if you shared a little bit about your program, the happiness cycle that you help people with. Tell us what you do. Tell us how you help people.
So you and I have some overlap here too. So this is going to be really fun. So everything that we just talked about here, so I take people on a path to healing. And so the path is P for physical body start, which is everything that we just talked about here. If you understand your nervous system, you have an access point into all these fancy words that everyone talks about on TikTok: conscious mind, unconscious mind, all these pieces of parasympathetic, sympathetic. Everything is just about understanding what's happening in your physical body and honoring it, period. So that's really the beginning of our path. Then our path together goes into alignment. And so there's two parts of alignment for me. The first part is where Megan and I overlap because she is like the guru goddess of human design. And she's really able to help you understand when you're not operating in your blueprint. And by that, I mean that we all have a unique personality of the lessons that we came here to learn, how we're meant to operate with others and within ourselves, what our journey looks like. And that's really where human design can come in. So we do a whole section on human design, understanding your type, your strategy, your authority, which is really about 90% of the blueprint. There's lots of nuances in human design. We stick with, like, if you can follow these things, you're about 90% of the way there. The second part of alignment is about your purpose and your values, which I just talked about with success. Success is really saying, what do I want to do with this life that I've been given? And for me, a purpose is also about who am I being, not necessarily what I'm doing. There's like this, I think it's a quote about success. I can't remember what the actual like phrase is, but I love it. It's like, success isn't about what you're doing. It's about how other people are feeling about what you're doing, which I think has to do with your being. Like, if you are passionate about what you're doing in this world, if you're passionate, whether you are like, hey, I'm in a season of motherhood and I'm filling up my kids' cups and my cup along the way, and I'm really being this way that I want to, or maybe it's a season of being in your career. And then we're following our values. So we use human design, purpose, and values to make every decision. Like I said, do you want caffeine today or are you going to opt for water? Look at your values, look at your purpose, look at your human design. Which one is best for you? Like for me, I'm a projector. I need to opt for way less caffeine and more water so that I can hear myself when I need to rest. The last part, the last two parts of the path are where goal setting happens. We really can't talk about success unless we are talking about goals and where we're moving. That is part of what we're meant to do here. There's nothing wrong with that. What's wrong is when we built it on a poor foundation. So this is your true intentions. What is your true intention in this life? Big picture, who are you being down to the smallest thing of like, and being that, what is your goal right now inside relationships? What is your goal right now inside of career? So, what is the truth that you're living? And then the last part of the path is, you may have guessed it, habits. So, we need habits that we are executing every day. And if you're like sitting here and you're like, oh, yeah, habits. Yeah, I know I'm supposed to have them, but I can never stick with them. It is most likely because you haven't done the P. That's why I call it happiness cycle. If you get to the habits and the habits aren't sticking, it's not because you're inconsistent. It's not because there's something wrong with you. It's not because you're always going to fail at life. It's because look back at your physical body. Is your nervous system regulated? Are you making these habit choices in a safe environment in the world? Or are you saying I'm going to go to the gym 5 days a week because I want to weigh 122 pounds because that's what someone told me success looks like and I need to be a size four? That habit is never going to stick because when you say that, you're automatically telling yourself you're not good enough, which dysregulates your nervous system. And then also probably doesn't check when you look at your life purpose. Like, I don't think any of us are like, I came here to be 122 pounds and to go to the gym 5 days a week, that will change the world. I mean, maybe there are some people, I haven't found them yet. So that's why it's a cycle. So we take you through the path to success, leaving behind burnout, overwhelm, and hustle, and really stepping into how can I do more? How can I help more people being on this path?
Oh, that's beautiful. I love it. I hear so many wonderful things from the happiness cycle. Like everyone I talk to is like, oh my gosh, I love the happiness cycle. And there's people who just keep doing it and doing it, and they get like to higher levels and higher levels and higher levels of healing. So I love what you're doing. And I think there's so many interesting parallels between the work that you do and the work that I do, because yes, we both love human design and see the power in it, right? Like just in my opinion, it's so helpful to, I don't know, have this like glimpse into like, here's who I was created to be. Am I doing it? Like, am I living that way? Or am I making it wrong? Like, I see that a lot. Well, I don't have enough energy to do that. And it's like, okay, great. What can we do? How can you structure your life or your business or anything so that it actually works with your design? And I just love that you incorporate that. And I love it, love it, love it. So the doors are opening as of the time of this airing. The doors are opening to happiness cycle soon, right? So tell people, we will put links in the show notes, but tell people how they can get in and work with you and learn from you and be in this community that you've created. That's just beautiful.
Okay, so this is super secret, only being told like this far in advance on Megan's podcast. I am going to do a secret live coaching session on April 11th. So you guys can check out Instagram at Mobility Athletes. That's me. And find all the details for that live coaching. But if you want free coaching, you want to come and ask questions about this nervous system stuff, the things that are happening to you throughout the day, like get on there. My coaching is usually $247 for a session. So this is going to be free. I'm going to stay on for at least 90 minutes. Who knows how long I'll get inspired. I'm a projector, so sometimes I can just like go deep. Keep this a secret because you guys will just see it launching then. So I'm so excited that this podcast is going to be sharing. And then the actual happiness cycle starts on April 16th. And it's really important to me too. I've changed a lot in my business. I think that there's a lot of different tactics for sales and success and those pieces. And it's been really important to me also to let people know that this isn't a one-time thing. I open this every single quarter. So even if you're like, oh my gosh, my life is a little bit overwhelming right now, maybe if it's feeling that way, that little voice inside of you is like, yeah, this is Nicole speaking what I need. I'm gonna commit. I'm gonna show up for this coaching. I'm gonna get into the happiness cycle. Amazing. I cannot wait to see you. Maybe the little voice inside of you that's nice and quiet is like, man, she's speaking so much truth, and right now isn't the right time. That's okay. Mark your calendar because we will be offering the happiness cycle again in June and then again in September. So go ahead, mark it down. The problem that happens, the reason that all these people do sales tactics and they're like, the doors are open and one time only, and all these things, which that doesn't align with what I speak about nervous system regulation. So I no longer do that. But I am about planning your life with purpose and in alignment to your values. So if that little voice inside of you says, do it now, like, awesome. I'll see you on live coaching. I'll see you on the start date of April 16th for this round of the happiness cycle. If that little voice is inside of you, that autonomy, that choice is saying, hey, oh my gosh, she just said September, the kids will be back in school. I'm marking this on my calendar. I'm going to go follow Mobility Athletes right now. So I make sure that I catch up on this. I make sure that Nicole's the aligned coach. Awesome. Go mark it down. I can't wait to see you in April. I can't wait to see you in June. I can't wait to see you in September or January, whichever one aligns. Like, let's do it together, but let's do it from a place of true autonomy and choice.
Yes, and for everyone who is marking their calendar, I know how, like, for me, I can listen to something and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is exactly what I need. But like, yeah, maybe now's not the perfect time, but September is the right time. Like, I've been in that situation, and I know how noisy things can get, right? You know, the kids will be back to school, and then, oh no, now I really have to do all my meal planning, and now I have, oh, and then holidays are coming. So when you're writing it in your calendar, put a little asterisk and be like, trust your intuition. We're serious this time. Like, this is actually what you need. So write a little note, because we've been talking today all about how do you actually lean in and trust yourself. And remember, that voice is quiet. So when you're in a noisy place, maybe you need to go find somewhere to get quiet. And remember, because September is a few months away, or June is a few months away. So if you're like, no, I'll just do it later, make sure you're actually in integrity with this decision that you've made in this moment, and make a note of it and say, I am going to do this. I am going to lean in and trust this voice inside, because we've all been there. We're like, yeah, I'll do that later. And then it slips off the to-do list, and it's like, oops, I guess I didn't really do that ever at all, right? So there you go, little tidbit. Make a note, make a little symbol, like put some sort of intention as you are putting it in your calendar that you are trusting yourself, and then go celebrate that, because that's a really big deal. Yeah.
Oh my, I
Okay.
love it.
Nicole, is there anything else you want to share with us? We covered a lot today. We touched on a lot. We could have talked for probably 4 more hours, and it would have been so fun. But tell us, is there anything else that you think I forgot to ask you, or you wished you were like, oh man, I really wish Megan would have asked me that. I was like waiting for the perfect moment to say it. So let us know if there's anything coming up for you right now around that. And if not, any last words from Nicole?
I think the biggest thing that's coming up is that as I went through my journey, there were times that felt so lonely. And by that, I mean that internal state. I was surrounded by people, but I had an inability to reach out, had an inability to connect. And that was, again, nervous system. But also, it was really about me being able to connect with the right people at the right time. And so I want you guys to know, I used to look up to people that had these great infrastructures of friends and people that they could reach out to and travel with and do all these things. And Megan has become one of those people for me. And there's so many others that, like, if you go and follow us, we're always sharing about the people we're spending time with and traveling with. And I want you to know that even if you're feeling lonely, you're not alone. That also there are peers that are standing right next to you that you might not even know yet that are getting ready to get on the same journey as you. They're getting ready to sign up for the happiness cycle or that other retreat that you're looking at. And you're getting ready to meet them, and you're getting ready to find people to walk hand in hand in life with. And I just want you to take really collectively a big, like, deep breath in. And just feeling that trust, and then just breathing out and allowing yourself to feel the emotion, maybe for the first time, of being supported, being validated, and just being loved for all of the messiness and all of the truth. And that just felt really important for me to share with all of you. Knowing where I was when my nervous system was dysregulated, and knowing how important these relationships like Megan and I have, and knowing that that is all possible for you as well.
Yes, thank you. That's just beautiful. And I mean, one thing I love about you, Nicole, is that you can get high energy, like such high energy, and then like in the snap, you're like grounded and you're like breath work queen, and you're like, all right, guys, we're here. And it's like so mindful. I mean, I love the highs and the peaks and the valleys and all the different emotions that you have, and it's I just love it. So, that's beautiful. And thank you for reminding us to breathe, right? You do breath work with your clients too. And it's oh, sometimes why do we just forget? It's like we're just holding our breath all day, and like it's important. So thanks for helping us pause and just take a moment, because I mean, everybody needs a little hope. I mean, even if you feel like you have a lot of friends and you have the circles, but maybe you're feeling like people don't fully understand what you're trying to do. That's so common. So come join us. We're over on Instagram. Come hang out with us. Or in the happiness cycle. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being here, Nicole. This has been such a treat, and I just know people who are listening are they're like in love with you now. So thank you so much.
Hey, look at you go. You made it all the way to the end of the episode. That is something to celebrate. Do you know how many people don't finish the things they start? If you liked this episode and want to support me and my mission to help people find purpose, heal their past, and get results, share the love. It would be amazing if you would leave a rating and review or take a screenshot and share it on social media. And if you're ready to dig deep, do the work, and get results, head on over to redeemingrootscoaching.com to join the email list and book a discovery call to see if working together would be a good fit. Thank you so much for listening today. See you next time.